Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Ideas matter. Checking in with the public humanities is a regular feature on the Roundtable. It's our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state region to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight Massachusetts Humanities, Mass Humanities, and discuss bringing the humanities to life. Susan Stinson is an author and writer in residence at the Forbes Library in Northampton, Massachusetts. We also welcome Plune. And Plune, help me with your last name. I always get it wrong.
Boricius. I think you get it right.
Usually. I think you're right. I had it. You're right. I think I did have that right, and I second-guessed myself. Plune Boricius is the Director of Grants and Programs at Mass Humanities and a dear friend here at WAMC, and it's a thrill to have you both on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Happy to be here.
Well, Susan, we'll get to your story in just a moment. Let us begin with Plune and talk a little bit about this whole idea of the humanities and bringing them to life. And is that a challenge, or if we open ourselves to it, a pretty easy thing to accomplish?
I think it's pretty easy to accomplish. I mean, all of us who have gone through college know how incredibly enriching a good humanities lecture, a lecture in art history, a lecture in history can be, or a program, an exhibit or something like that. And so what the public humanities do is bring that to everyone, bring that to life all over the place. And that consists in walking tours, public lectures, public symposia, educational programs in libraries, etc. So it's pretty easy to do and really, really rich and rewarding.
So give us a sense of how, as a council, you work to address this to, A, make the point, and, B, to actually bring it to life.
We are like, just to stick with Susan's title for a second, we are like a spider in a web. We are a facilitating organization. We make grants. We make grants to organizations that do humanities programming. We put on our own humanities programming. And in the process, we get to know an enormous number of people and organizations who do a lot of great public humanities work. And we publicize that through our social media, through our calendar. So we don't only publicize that which we sponsor and organize, but also other events which we think are really worthwhile. So there's a lot, and that's what I'm here to tell you today.
So we want to talk to Susan, and again, Susan, I promise we'll get to you in just a second, but I want to just talk about this term of public humanist and how you use that in what you're doing, Plune.
A public humanist, well, first of all, our blog is called The Public Humanist, so that's where the term comes from. We think of a public humanist as someone who is a humanities professional in some ways, who actually talks to everybody, talks about everyday life, who doesn't write in stilted academic terms or for small audiences. And so Susan is a really good example of a public humanist. She's an author who writes of historical fiction, very well-researched historical fiction, and with a very strong and well-founded historical imagination. And her work is not only to be found in novels, but she also spreads it around to her other activities. She is writer in residence at Forbes, where she works with people every Saturday. She holds an annual cemetery tour in one of the old cemeteries in Northampton to celebrate the birthday of Jonathan Edwards. And she writes for our public humanist. So a public humanist is someone who spreads it around.
So, Susan, I assume that is a term you are happy with and comfortable with.
I couldn't be more happy with it. And oh boy, Plune just said such lovely, lovely things. And I think the cemetery tour, which we just did last Saturday because October 5th was Jonathan Edwards' 310th birthday. And I should maybe say, for people who don't know, that Jonathan Edwards was a preacher and theologian. He was best known for his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, but he also helped spark something called the First Great Awakening, which swept the colonies and had all sorts of political and also religious implications for the 18th century colonists. So we did a walking tour in the cemetery last Saturday, and in terms of a lovely and easy way to immerse yourself in the humanities, you know, it's a fall day, there's beautiful autumn leaves everywhere, and we're strolling through the place where we live, you know, reading the gravestones and thinking about the people who came before us.
And you could do that in pretty much any cemetery, right? Any old historic cemetery?
You could. You could. There's so much to learn from those stones.
And
it's literally in our landscape.
And does it, how much of it, I mean, you talk about imagination, but some of it, you do have to have that historical background a little bit to know what you're looking at and what you're looking for.
Well, I started out with my research without a historical background. And it was, in fact, walking and reading and writing in the cemetery, which is just across the street from my house, that led me to, 10 years of research. So you can start from where you are. The dates are already on the stone. People's names are on the stones. And if something catches your eye, you know, you can follow that thread and learn as much as you like.
When you think of the things that you're talking about, the cemetery tour, the work on Jonathan Edwards as a slave owner, these are all they're varied projects, and I'm curious as to how you attach yourself to something and really become the public humanist on those particular issues. What draws you to those projects?
Well, let's see. I mean, excuse me, it was, for Jonathan Edwards, it really literally was a sense of place, sort of wanting to know more about where I live and you know, what formed the culture here, what continues to influence it. And also because I work with the library, I'm the writer in residence at the public library, I was, throughout that process, in conversation with other people, other writers, historians of all kinds. I run a series that's the Local History, Local Novelist series, and it puts fiction writers and poets in conversations with historians in this really beautiful way. So it's very much a part of my everyday life.
In the work that you are doing, and I'm curious as to how people respond and the type and what you're looking for in an audience and what your experience has been in the response that you have gotten from these various programs.
It has been unbelievably exciting. I read From Spider in a Tree, which is my new novel about Jonathan Edwards, last Wednesday. I got to do it at First Churches, which is the site where he preached, nearly 300 years ago. And 150 people from our town and the surrounding areas came. So, and that's just one example. The Local History, Local Novelist series is monthly, and we routinely fill the room to overflowing. I think that people are really hungry for to know more about how we got here. And also, you know, we put the history in conversation with people who are writing now so that you can see links that you might not have noticed otherwise. One that we're doing this year, for instance, is Emily Dickinson, Quiet, and the readers are going to be Charles Coe, a poet, a wonderful poet whose work I think is really interesting with Emily Dickinson, and Kevin Quashie. He teaches in the African-American Studies Department at Smith, and he has a new book, The Sovereignty of Quiet Beyond Resistance in Black Culture. And then Jane Wald, who's the director of the Emily Dickinson Museum here. So connections you might not expect, and it makes for a very exciting evening.
And, Plune, I assume all of this does your heart good, right?
I'm sorry?
I said, I assume all of this does your heart good, right?
It does do my heart good. Another way the connections are made is through the relevance of some of the topics to what we do today. We funded a project, a radio program, The River Runs Through Us, that Susan was on, and it was a six-part series on the writer's voice that essentially talked about the experience of the Connecticut River, both in history, in ecology, and today as we think about the river in our lives. And I think these things, in a very important way, inform how we think about where we are and what is important in our own lives today.
Well, it's all fascinating and wonderful stuff. For more information about this, you can go to masshumanities.org, masshumanities.org. Susan Stinson and Plune Boratius, I thank you so much for being with us. It's a great pleasure, as always, and we look forward to our next trip next week with Ideas Matters. Thank you so much for being with us.
Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.